Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Cameron Wolf from ESPN. He's covering the Dolphins, and he was in the locker room yesterday. Cameron, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, Joe, Zach. How you guys doing?
Cam, we're doing great. Let's jump right into it here. Two-point conversion or go for one? What do you do?
Oh, scare money don't make no money. Definitely got to go for two. I think that was a good choice by them. I mean, obviously they didn't get it, but I thought that was the right move 100%.
That looked a little bit like the old two-point conversion I saw a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. New England ran against the Falcons. Looked a little bit like that late one when they were wiped out after they'd run about 200 plays in the game. Atlanta was wiped out.
Yeah. You try to throw it out to one of the playmakers and hope you get somebody to miss, make somebody miss a couple times and get an end zone. But, yeah, they had three or four dudes around there. It looked like that didn't have a chance.
Did I see Kenyon Drake after the game, or did I hear him after the game talk about the fact that that play all week long was in practice, but it was Mark Walton that was kind of, you know, the one that was taking all those plays and not him? Isn't that weird? Or what happened with Walton in that at the end of the game, where they just decide we're just going to try this play but not try it with the guy we practiced with all week?
Yeah, I'm going to be frank. I didn't love, like, Kenyon Drake going there. I mean, I get you can put that out there, but to me it kind of seems like an excuse. From his end. But, yeah, no, I think it was Mark Walton who was running that play all week, and they probably decided that they wanted Kenyon Drake to have that chance to get in, given, you know, his playmaking ability, which I don't mind that decision because Kenyon Drake has shown, you know, an ability to make some of those big plays lately. But, yeah, you got to catch the ball and see what happens. And I guess we'll never really see what would have happened because he didn't catch it.
How much are you throwing on Rosen, who didn't have a great game, but he got knocked around? You have to admit, if our eyes watch that same game yesterday, that's about as much as a quarterback can get hit in the first 12 to 15 plays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the O-line did him zero favors. I think he, like you mentioned, I think he was hit half of his dropbacks that first quarter of the game at the very least. So, yeah, it's tough for him, but, I mean, like, at some point you've got to evaluate the quarterback for the quarterback. You know, it's easy to kind of make excuses because the offensive line is probably the worst in the league and receivers are dropping passes. All that's true, but at some point you got to evaluate the quarterback. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick did lead them to two touchdown drives after he came in. You know, they went up tempo, but he still did a little bit there. So not a great game for Josh, and, you know, he's still going to get a chance to recover. But it's looking less and less likely that he's got a real chance to be the guy long term, as you saw Sunday.
Cam, you're being nice. He got no shot to be the future pick.
Yeah.
That decision was made.
Yeah.
I think the coaching staff will never say it. That decision has been made a long time ago. Cam, do you ever get there early and watch Fitzpatrick come out on the field and watch the sheep called his teammates come around him? I never seen anything like it.
He's one of the guys. That's one of the things that's fun about Fitzpatrick. Is that, you know, usually quarterbacks are pretty separate, and you know this, Joe, but, you know, quarterbacks have their different way about them, and, you know, they're kind of a little secluded just because of the way their position is. But Fitzpatrick likes to be there. I see him in the lunchroom eating with the tight ends on a regular basis. Sometimes he'll eat with the defensive players. He'll hang around the guys and joke with them. He just wants to be one of the guys. And I think the guys see that and appreciate it. So, yeah, you see them, you know, rallying around him. I talked to guys in the locker room, and they said, you know, they said as soon as he got in the huddle, their confidence increased. And it wasn't a shot at Rosen. It's just, you know, you get Fitzpatrick in there, and you know, hey, maybe there's some magic that's going to happen. You know his history, the fact that he can make it, you know, turn around in a second. So, yeah, he has a special vibe around him, and I think the players feel it.
Do you notice more energy or more anything when Fitzpatrick goes in there, or when he did yesterday or earlier in the season when they used to go to, you know, Rosen at the end of the game? Do you notice, like, a difference when Fitzpatrick's in there against Rosen?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because their backup quarterback is always the favorite of fans and players because he's something different than what they've had. So I think any time the backup quarterback comes in, you get extra energy. But for Fitzpatrick, yeah, I think he's a lot looser than maybe Josh Rosen. So maybe that's the element that he comes in with, especially when they're down two touchdowns, they're playing with house money. It seems like he brings a loose energy, and that's what the players connect with. So, yeah, when he comes in there, they're a little bit freer. They're a little bit, you know, willing to play like kids rather than, you know, a team that's getting beat every week.
All right. Were you all you and your media buddies up there? Were you guys kind of come on straight up? You're marching down to tie that game up or win it. What was the mood up there of the guys? Was it drop it, miss it because we want to go 0-6? Come on, what was it, man?
It's funny. I'm actually a little different than the rest of the guys. The rest of the guys, I think, were really sweating. I talked to them after it. They were worried that Fitzpatrick was going to mess up the tank. But I was being a little bit of contrarian. I kind of wanted to see a win. I want to see.
That's why you and I get along, man. That's why we hang out, man.
I wanted to see something different. I wanted to see the players in the locker room, how they reacted after the win. So I didn't get my wish, so I was a little bummed. But I think the rest of the guys were happy that the tank got preserved.
Yeah, interesting media conversation.
Screw up the whole draft if we don't get the right. If we don't like, oh, it's everybody's already decided we're not halfway through the season. Going to screw up the whole draft.
Well, I mean, Washington would have the, you know, still 0-6 at this point. Right. So yeah,
I renamed Barry Jackson Tank. That's
tank
his
tank.
New name.
I like that.
Because if it gets a little scary, he's going to call the owner to tank it. Yeah,
we need extra tanking.
That's called tank
yesterday.
Tank.
I thought that happened anyway yesterday with Xavien Howard. What happened with him before the game and this last couple days where he wasn't going to play?
Yeah, I mean, they're calling it knee soreness. He said, you know, his knee was bothering him a little bit. I mean, we'll never truly know whether he could have, you know, pushed to go. And if this game mattered, I think that he probably would have gave a better effort. But, yeah, I mean, I was worried when we came in because there's 11 guys questionable coming out of the bye week, and that just seemed fishy to me, you know. 11 guys questionable, a lot of these guys practiced all week. So I was wondering how many guys would play, and most of them actually did play. But Xavien not playing, I think probably if he plays, in my opinion, they win that game because, you know, Terry McLaurin had a field day, and I think Xavien stops at least one of those touchdown passes from happening. So, you know, we'll see if it's something that was just a one-game thing. You do get a little worried when you hear knee for Xavien Howard because he's had a couple of knee issues in the past. So, you know, you wonder if the team would even play with something like that. So I'm going to hold them at face for now and say that he does have a legitimate knee injury, you know, knee soreness, and they were just being careful. But it was a little peculiar that, you know, he practiced all week and he wasn't able to go.
I'll tell you one thing. Whoever those guys were on defense, man, they played – their ass off. Eric Rowe's getting better where we don't even talk about him. He's really gotten comfortable. And then Ken Webster got stuck in a bad situation. Go get him, kid, your first start. And, oh, by the way, when they're not running the ball, they're going to go play action and try to get you one-on-one against McLaurin, right? That's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Terry had a really good game with touchdowns, but he didn't go off. Like, he didn't have 10 catches. So, you know, the DBs held up there. I saw Bobby McCain playing his butt off. I know he's, you know, battling with a hamstring and a shoulder, and he looked like he was playing for the Super Bowl out there. And, you know, I mean, that was my biggest, like, one of my biggest takeaways for the game is we always talk about the tank, and the tank jokes are funny and all this. But, like, the players and coaches, in my opinion, showed that, hey, we're still trying to win this game. Like, you know, regardless of what the organization is doing, it's important for us to win. And I thought it was important for them, you know, to see that fight in their teammates and fighting each other. And although, you know, there's no moral victories in football, I walked in that locker room and I could see guys, like, looking at each other and feeling a little bit more brotherhood that, hey, we are all in this together. We're all still fighting. And, you know, this sucks, but we're not giving up yet.
Hey, by the way, real quickly, Bobby McCain, did he get beat or was that a broken coverage? He was kind of jammed and then let him go on the one touchdown like he thought he had help. Did they say anything? That was that a breakdown or what? Did they say what happened on that play?
Yeah, I'll have to ask.
I know there's a lot of different
that play.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think I thought when I saw it live, I thought they were in zone coverage. and it looked like somebody's responsibility is broken. So I'm not sure if it was Bobby.
Oh, it looked like that to me.
Blame him without looking. Yeah, but it could be. It could be.
How about real quickly, Mark Walton playing so much? That surprised me to start the game. Did that surprise you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I thought that he was going to overtake Kalen Ballage as the number two guy, but I was surprised that he got the start. And, you know, I talked to him in the locker room, and he said he felt like he always could do this. And he said, you know, back to the UM days, I was just waiting for my opportunity. And, you know, I feel like I can really do a lot for this team in the running game and the receiving game. So, yeah, I think, you know, now it's a three-man backfield, and I think they're going to give Mark Walton a chance to prove that he can be, you know, the guy. So, you know, King and Dre's got another guy to worry about back there. Right. So I thought he played well, Mark Walton did. And, yeah, I'd like to see more of him.
Hey, by the way, when you're with all your media buddies over there, your print media guys, the fraternity over there, tell them, hey, blow for Joe ain't a bad way to go to give that Tua tank for Tua rest. You saw Joe Burrow throw the ball. Come on, man. Give him something else to write about, something fresh, man.
Hey, Devon Godchild's in the locker room trying to make his case for Joe Burrow
right.
being better than Tua.
That's why Godchild's my man
yet,
right there.
But I'm listening.
Anything can happen. By the way, early line came out this week. Bills by 16.5 this weekend coming up.
Ooh.
Surprising.
Ooh.
That's really high.
Hell, it could be at 16.5 the last 5 years when we go up
right.
there.
It's just
surprising.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Last year we didn't even go up there. The team, there was nobody on that plane that went up there.
No one came back either.
No.
That's it.
And nobody came back. The ones that did got scolded from daddy.
Cameron, we'll bug you again soon. Thanks for your time as always.
Thanks,
Cam.
Cameron Wolf from ESPN talking about the Miami Dolphins and yesterday's game and going forward and blow for Burrow or blow for Joe, whatever Joe's got.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.